you don't mind, I'd like to have you start just by introducing yourself and your title, please.
I'm Elliot Altman, the director of the Tennessee Center for Botanical Medicine Research at Middle Tennessee State University.
Yeah, and introduce us kind of a mission statement, if you would, for the center.
The center works on developing both nutritional supplement products and drugs or pharmaceuticals from plants that are medicinally relevant.
Yeah, and the center's history, maybe just a little bit about the history of the center.
It was actually formed at the emphasis of Dr. McPhee. It was endorsed by Governor Bill Haslam and ratified by the TBR.
Yeah, okay, all right. And maybe something about your particular academic interest in this field.
I had a history of working with natural products, things that come from nature that could be potential alternative medicines. So that's how I got into it.
Yeah, and so your academic credentials to go along with that, what are they?
Well, I've worked on a number of things throughout my career. I still work with peptide therapeutics on the pure drug side. I do metabolic engineering to make metabolic products. So looking at natural products that you have to purify is an extension of that.
Yeah, yeah. And do you hold a doctorate in
the
area?
I have a PhD.
Yeah, and what is that?
Well, my PhD was actually in molecular genetics.
Okay.
Which I still use for different projects.
Okay, good. All right. All right, so as I mentioned, I think, first of all, it might be beneficial just to define some things, because I think, you know, myself and most lay people are just a bit confused about the difference between, you know, all of this that we're hearing now about CBD products and marijuana and its effects. So can you help us understand the difference between the two?
Well, the confusion lies in the fact that it's the same family of plants. So the plant is cannabis. But like any plant, there can be thousands of different varieties of plant. And that's what happens with cannabis. So cannabis has split, and you have your marijuana variety. And marijuana is going to have high THC and some CBD.
And if you would, you're going to need to define terms like that at least the first time you
okay,
use
so,
them.
Okay, so THC is the main psychotropic agent that people take to get high. It's one of the cannabinoids that the plant can make.
Okay.
Then on the other side, you have hemp. And hemp is a different variety, and it flips it. It makes a lot of CBD, which is non-psychotropic. And CBD is an anti-inflammatory or immunosuppressant agent, and there's definite scientific proof to that fact now. And it makes a little THC. So long time ago, the U.S. government stepped in and said, okay, we need to define this. So, and they do have a legal definition, and that is if a plant, a cannabis plant, contains less than 0.3% THC, it is hemp. If it contains more than 0.3% THC, it is marijuana. And now, as per the 2018 Federal Farm Bill, hemp is completely allowable in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah. I remember last year when I did a story when the first CBD store opened here in Murfreesboro, first one in the state, is my understanding, I ended up on, to be honest, I don't recall if it was the FDA's website or the FTC's website or what federal agency, but there were stark warnings on that site about CBD and claims that were being made for CBD products. So I'm curious, you know, when you say that there are now studies available, you know, I'd like to hear you say something about you know, the quantity and quality of this evidence that you're seeing now with regard to these products.
Well, first, the hemp extract that are being sold as a nutritional supplement. and you are allowed, as per FDA guideline, to make extracts from plants and sell them as nutritional supplements as long as you make no medical claims. And that's the whole genre of nutritional supplements that hemp extracts are falling into. Most companies have been very careful, but if you make a mistake and you say this can be used to treat so many different conditions, the FDA has every right to tell you, no, you can't. But with that said, there are a couple of companies now that are developing CBD products as pharmaceuticals. And they're going through the rigorous FDA trials that are required to get there. But with that said, and the 2018 Federal Farm Act made that very clear, as long as hemp extracts are sold as a nutritional supplement with no medical claims, that's perfectly legal. Now, with that said, that doesn't mean that scientific research isn't being done. And you can find an increasing number of studies that will point people that like to use nutritional supplements in the direction to say, so I guess I could use this if I wanted to treat inflammation.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on.
Right. So these are then peer-reviewed studies from reputable institutes that you feel comfortable.
A number of peer-reviewed studies in scientific journals and also medical journals.
Yeah. Okay. So how then would you characterize, you know, what these studies are learning about CBD?
The studies are ranging. You'll find a lot of studies on epilepsy. There have been done some studies on different forms of arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, and psoriatic arthritis, etc. Those are the main ones that I've seen. But there are so many studies now. There's over 1,000 published studies on cannabidiol or CBD.
Yeah, yeah. I recall last year when I was listening to committee testimony in the Tennessee legislature, that there was a woman, a mother, who testified about having used these oils with a child who was prone to near constant seizures, and testified before lawmakers that she'd found that very effective and useful for the child, and was essentially begging lawmakers to make that legal, in essence. So that's the kind of thing that you're talking about with regard to epilepsy, and you know that there are some evidence now that
I could give you a number of stories, because I've been involved in this field for 4 years and was actually one of the people that helped the Tennessee legislators develop the initial laws and make sure that they were correct. And with that said, I give a lot of credit to our state legislators. I think they've done an excellent job in making sure that Tennessee becomes a premier hemp state and does it right.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about that aspect of this thing. How would you characterize Tennessee's position with regard to, the farming, the agriculture of hemp products, kind of the legislative legal aspects, commercial aspects of selling the thing. How does Tennessee kind of rate, if you will, among the states with regard to, its leadership on this issue, on these products?
I would say that, and you have to follow the history, because what started this was the 2014 Federal Farm Bill. And there were some loose ends in that bill, and it left it mainly up to the state to decide how hemp was going to be regulated in their state. And that's where Tennessee stepped in and did a very admirable job, in my opinion. Now, with the 2018 Federal Farm Act, it's made it more clear as to, they took out all the problems that remain from the 2014 Federal Farm Act. It's going to be easier for states now to comply with the federal regulation. But with that said, I think Tennessee is one of the top two states in the nation as far as getting it right and having all the required parts and places to truly make us a hemp state.
Yeah, yeah. I talked to a couple of months ago, back now at the beginning of the legislative session, I talked to a lawmaker who actually has, who is also a farmer, has grown hemp, is licensed to grow hemp on in, as part of his operation. And he had introduced legislation that had to do with requiring law enforcement officers in Tennessee to essentially carry hemp test products because he was getting so many complaints from growers and users of these products that they were being stopped and harassed and in some cases arrested by police because the police were assuming that the products they were carrying were illegal and that were in fact marijuana-based rather than hemp-based. So I'm curious what your thoughts are there. You know, is that one place where you know, state law is maybe still a little bit behind and needs to catch up? Are there other places like that where, you know, legislators maybe still need to do some work to kind of catch up with what's happening with this product?
Well, I think the Tennessee Department of Agriculture has done a great job. And the problem is that people aren't following their suggestions that would solve some of these problems. So in defense of law enforcement, if you pull someone over and they've got legitimate hemp in their truck, law enforcement doesn't know. It could be marijuana. So, but with that said, there's a permitting system by the Tennessee Department of Agriculture. You have to have that permit to obtain hemp and grow hemp. And there's a movement permit that farmers need to get if you're moving it to a processor, for example. So the Tennessee Department of Agriculture keep pleading with people, just fill out the moving permit, have it in your truck. When law enforcement pulls you over, you show them the moving permit and everything's okay. Yeah. But what's happening a lot of times is law enforcement is pulling someone over, they can't prove what they have or don't have, and they have every right to be upset about the situation.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I'm curious if the center here at MTSU is involved in any related research. You have any projects going here at MTSU with regard to CBD and these products?
So we started at the very beginning, literally 4 years ago, and as we started doing research, a local company called Greenway Herbal Products was formed, and they gave the university and the center a $2.5 million grant and challenged us to find out whatever we could about hemp, to look at all the products that were contained in it, the cannabinoids, the terpenes, was there any medicinal relevance whatsoever. And they said, it's okay. If you don't find anything, that's fine. If you do find anything, then maybe we can develop products. Long story short, we have isolated all the major cannabinoids, all the major terpenes that are made from industrial hemp plants. We have characterized their biological activity, and we definitely have proof, different proof than other people have generated, that what the cannabinoids are good at is they are anti-inflammatory or immunosuppressant agents. And based on what we've learned, we found out it's not just CBD. There are other cannabinoids that are valuable as well. So we're actually in the process of filing intellectual property on these discoveries, and then Greenway intends to make companies because they have the right to license the property that we develop as per the grant from MTSU.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So an arrangement of some type that would benefit both the university and
these
commercial entities.
It's a standard licensing. Actually, I have seen a lot of licensing agreement during my career because I do a lot of applied work. And MTSU gets 5% of gross sales. It's a very generous agreement, so it is a win-win for everybody.
Okay, all right. Looking to the future, what hasn't been done yet that you might get into at the center here, or that you would like to see other researchers get into, would like to see lawmakers get into? What's yet to be done with regard to these products?
So we're finalizing the research to show what cannabinoids have what properties that might be valuable in the future. And then towards the future, there's a lot of interest in using hemp seed for livestock, because just like humans have consumed hemp seed for many years, hemp seed is probably the best natural source of the polyunsaturated omega fatty acids, omega-3 and omega-6, and it makes them in the correct blend combination that most nutritionists recommend. It also makes all the amino acids. So hemp seeds actually get classified as a superfood. So if it's good for us, then a lot of people have thought they've received health benefit for consuming hemp seed, why shouldn't we be able to feed it to livestock? And now, as per the 2018 Federal Farm Act and Tennessee law, you can do that. So we're working on that. And with that said, it's not just harvesting the plant for CBD. There are going to be farmers that want to harvest the plant for seeds. So we're trying to create new breeds that will give the seeds and an appreciable level of CBD, so they get some money from the CBD side as well. And right now, CBD is worth a lot more money than the seeds. But I think the seeds will continue to be of interest. So that's one thing we're working with. And the other thing we're working with is the problem with the hemp plant is it has some THC. And when you go to make extracts and concentrate them, that THC can get to elevated levels and get you close to the federal legal limit that you want to avoid. So if we could generate, and we're working on this now, it'll take us several years, using molecular genetic techniques, again, so my PhD does come in handy at some point, we know there are ways to completely knock out the enzyme that makes THC. So there's no reason we can't generate a plant that'll be high CBD and no THC. And if there was never any THC, then you can't make a product with THC. And that would be really beneficial for the industry.
Hmm. All right. Interesting. Okay. So I think that's all the questions that I have. Anything else that your expertise in this area suggests that perhaps we should address? Maybe something that I just simply wouldn't think to ask?
Well, I think we need to realize that there are two pathways for either nutritional supplements or pharmaceuticals. And it's worked well in this country forever, and we should let it keep on the path that it is. And with that said, that is, if you want to make a botanical extract, something from a plant, and consume it as a user, cranberry extract, blueberry extracts, hemp extract, you should be allowed to do so. But those nutritional supplements can't make medical claims. And I think the industry is doing a pretty good job of realizing that they want to be in the nutritional supplement realm. With that said, if there are companies that now want to pursue individual cannabinoids as drugs, they can do that through the FDA and develop pharmaceutical product. And that's where some of the confusion lies, because the FDA is the Food and Drug Administration. So there's a food side where nutritional supplements fall, and there's a drug side where pharmaceuticals fall, and there's separate rules and regulations.
All right. If a listener wanted to learn more about what you're doing at the center, where would they find that information? Do you have a website?
They can visit our website.
Yeah, and that is?
At MTSU, if you look up Tennessee Center for Botanical Medicine Research, you'll find the website. You can read about the different research going on.